Namaste. So we are talking about seasons of life. Now, one thing we must understand, just like the Chaturvarnya, the fourfold order, so too this idea about the four seasons of life, where you have the Vanprastha at the end and the Brahmacharya Ashram in the beginning. Now, this is a world order, which, I mean, in India, a social order, which was created keeping in mind certain aspects of human nature. For instance, in the middle you see, you have the Grahastha Ashram, and that in that Grahastha Ashram, your aims are Artha and Kama. So, why? Because the vital is very prominent. Whereas in the beginning, student life, Brahmacharya Ashram, because very beautiful things, students can get easily oriented. Their little, little minds are like sponges, they absorb, you give the right influences. But then when these things become weak over a period of time, then at the end there is Vanprastha and the Moksha Sanyas. So if you look at it, life was organized like that. But we must understand that something new and unprecedented has happened. When Mother speaks about this supramental touching matter, so these old methods, while we must understand their utility, they are not as relevant today. Because now we see, at least I see, so many youngsters who are seeking, suddenly they are seeking. So if you apply the classical method, one would be inclined to say that, you go through the grahasth. But they are not. They are at a young age, they want something new, something beautiful. Even as a householder, they are already into Vanprastha and, inner moksha. So this evolutionary process has been hastened. And the method is also different, because now there is a moksha is not the goal, but a change of nature. So these tendencies, these new trends have come up in nature, and we have to respect it. So the four seasons of life, which were all right at a point of time, they are, we have to look at them afresh with a new understanding. For instance, youth. The mother gives a definition of youth. And many people, based on that, again create another misunderstanding that there is nothing like old age. So what happens is that people start saying, though, no, I'm not old. So what if I'm 95? I'll continue to work. That's not what she's saying. She's saying that when do you become old? When you stop progressing. So you may be 20 and old. And you may be 80 and not old. Why? Because you are progressing. You are looking forward to something. You are wanting to do something or realize something or maybe just learn a new thing. So many people don't know how to age gracefully, and it's a pity. They hold on to the past. One of the signs of the old age is when you start saying your stories when you were there. And you want those stories, that life, to be implemented in everyone. But life changes, creation moves forward, everything moves forward. So they want, some of them go to an extreme, now they don't do it. But some of them used to go to the extreme and say, these light bulbs, in our time we read under kerosene lamps. So the logic is that you start using kerosene lamps now. Now this is absurd. So this becomes an anti-progressive thought. So, we need to understand that the context have changed and evolution is important. So, old people are those who have stopped looking forward. They just want to enjoy the fruits of their labor, remain seated where they are, despite their creative energies almost sapped down. So, they are the one who perpetuate the past and tie everything to the past. Whereas the spirit of youth is always to venture into the new and the unknown, to achieve the impossible, to dare that which has never happened. So this fight goes on. So one has to understand that even at when we grow old, either we should learn and understand and respect that probably maybe my faculties are not as sharp as they had to be, used to be. And at that point of time, very gracefully give way to the youth and turn towards that which is truly worth achieving if one has not. Because that's an age, if you remain tied to, some people I've seen in military setup after retirement, it's a miserable life because you've retired as a big officer and then you go and you are still living in that bubble. But you're a retired man. Who cares? But they are continuing to live in that. And it's very painful. So don't live in bubble. Now you're not that. It's perfectly fine. Why you have to be continue to live in that state? That was an age when you did what you had to do. Now respect. So when we enter into this old age, is like autumn. So what do we do in autumn? In autumn, you shed all the old leaves. And you prepare for the new spring. So old age is like autumn, when we need to shed the old consciousness, old way of life, go into an interiorization, a kind of concentration, so that we are ready for a new life which awaits us after the body's death. It's very unfortunate that many people don't know how to grow old. Now here old, we have to understand what I mean. Like physically you are aging, you can't play continue doing things physically as you were doing earlier, until there is the transformation. But there are other things you can do. You can do better that you didn't do earlier. So often we have this example of the eagle. An eagle, what does it do every after how many years? I have forgotten. Maybe 30 years, 40 years. So eagles live long. So they go into a isolated, relatively place. There they, not 30, 40 years, but they do it for many days, almost maybe 70 days. When they start shedding all their old wings, feathers, and they grow new ones, and then they come back in their renewed life. That's how even the Kaya Kalpa Siddhi was practiced. That people, when they grew old, they went into a room, they had the mud bath, spent time in meditation, concentration, they ate very little. So after some maybe 30 days or 40 days, when they came out, they had how many days? 75 days. They came out as almost new, and you could renew the process twice or thrice. So the age was extended to 150, 160. Now if you look at it, the principle is this. Otherwise, nothing is getting time to rejuvenate itself. Which is okay if you want to take life like that. But otherwise, when the body begins to grow old, instead of holding on to the past, reinvent yourself, renew yourself. So this is how one should age gracefully, not with the sense of helplessness and hopelessness, but with the sense of something new which is round the corner. So shed the old leaves. Those who have grandchildren or youngsters always are there. Learn new things. Look at how they are doing things with iPads and all this. Something amazing, to look at it and marvel and learn these things. Why not? And then shed that old ideas, habits. When you see the youngsters, they have a different consciousness altogether. Try to understand them. That itself will keep you young. Why they are thinking the way they are thinking? Don't impose your views. Just try to understand. It's not about right and wrong, but how life is evolving and changing. And then to spend most of the time in drawing away the consciousness from the surface activities. Go within, like a tree does in autumn. And then you are ready for the spring which is round the corner. Even contemplate that, when you are going to be reborn, how you would like to be, where you would like to be. It's not about whether it's possible or not. Life is always about possible or not. So, who actually makes it possible? Who dares it? Think about a beautiful womb. If after, when a baby is in womb, the mother's thought can influence the baby, why not a conscious soul's thoughts about where it will be born subsequently? So, you can even always imagine that, life will be beautiful. You will be born in a family where right from beginning, the conditions are conducive to your growth of inner life. And of course, they will definitely shape in some way or the other the future. So this is how we should age gracefully, that last season which is so important. And each season, live it with fullness. I'm not right now speaking about yoga, but about life in general. And but live in fullness on the basis of dharma. This is always the base. So if you say live in fullness means I'll do anything and everything. So the fourfold seasons of life was like that. The basis is always dharma. So stay with dharma. Then meet life, earth and kama. And then if you have lived a life with the world, grappled with the world, but stayed with dharma. And as I said, dharma is not about moral right and wrong, but far more complex. Dharma is essentially about the unfolding of truth within. stay with that, then you'll see that at the end of the day, when there is this age which is dawning up, it will be golden. There is a beautiful poem of Sri Aurobindo. It's about evening. Maybe you can close with that, where he describes, you know, what is, how you can, is not there on the iPad? Yeah, that'll be much easier. It's about evening. So in the evening, how do you like to spend the evening? So when you have trod the different ways of time, then when you sit down, when you have lived for a large and high goal, life can be so beautiful. Evening. Evening. A golden evening when the thoughtful sun rejects its usual pomp in going. Trees that bend down to their green companion. So this is an age when the sun, with all its pomp and splendors, is beginning to draw its rays away. And the trees become very quiet and still, one with their roots in the earth. And fruitful mother. So they are going down to Mother Earth, fruitful mother, vaguely whispering, these and a wide, silent sea. Such hour is nearest God. So at once he is saying how the evening can be so beautiful. Evening is the evening of life. It's not just the evening, and that he qualifies in the last line, which we'll just read. So evening, when, you know, the pomp and the show of your youthful energies, they tend to fade away. Everybody, to their little extent or big extent, have their own. And that time, you bend down to the roots to draw a sap, and all becomes quiet. Sees the vastness of consciousness. So one would say, oh, I have to be near the sea. No, sees when you are in a state of vastness. Life should make us vast. Very unfortunate, it makes us rigid. Should make us vast. When you have seen through life, when you have seen that all your ideas with which you started, small, narrow, rigid, they are shattered. If you really look at life with open eyes, you will see it. You don't need to read a book of philosophy. The book of life will teach you that all these ideas, small ideas, narrow ideas, what life should be, is not. I remember one of my those things in a Brahmin family where there was very strict taboos about certain things, about alcohol and all that. So one of the criteria that somebody is very bad is if he took alcohol. So luck would have it, I went into AFMC and then the army life, where alcohol is all around. Free alcohol. So I had my own little brush with alcohol. But that apart, that was for a short period, and that's a different story. But one thing I realized, that you can't judge a person by the drink that he has. I'm not saying take the other route. Oh, drinking is okay. I'm not saying that. Don't drink because it's not good for health. It's not good for the mind. But to judge a human being only on that basis, there are people who don't drink, who are pure vegetarian. But they drink human blood with impunity. So you should, you know, the wideness that comes when you go through life. When you see that, as Sri Aurobindo says in the jail, that those who were convicts suddenly saw in them that spark. Where there are people who are so-called socialites, upscale people, but very down in terms of their capacity for sacrifice, in their capacity for nobility, true nobility, in courage, in love, but dignified people. So when you go through life, you develop a wideness. So that is the sea. Such hour is nearest God. But when, now comes the qualifier, rich like old age, when the long ways have all been trod. When does old age become rich? If one has lived only confined to, you know, I just want to do this every day morning, I'll sit. Long ways means so many aspects of life when it reveals itself to a person. There is that beautiful line in Savitri which I am reminded. After we have served this great divided world, God's bliss and oneness are our inborn right. Many people don't understand it. They feel that, you know, ashram life means, okay, you are given some work, you are doing. Yes, do it. But it doesn't mean that your mind, your heart should remain small. Let it expand into wideness. Read, grow, understand, learn new things. And in fact, the ashram provides this opportunity. That's the beauty. You can learn to sing, you can learn to dance, you can learn languages, every possible thing. You can learn physical education, new things. So that's where he reminds us, evening, a golden evening, when the thoughtful sun rejects its usual pomp in going, all the thoughts which are moving into this achievement, that, all that pomp the thoughts have rejected. Trees is life. So one is the mind, thoughts which were full of the pomp and glory, now they are drawing into themselves towards the source. And life, what happens to life? Trees that bend down to their green companion and fruitful mother. Mother Earth. They are more and more entering to draw the sap of life. Both the mind and the life, they are entering deeper into their own roots to discover where they are. Now, these roots are not about going back to my village. The true roots, the source of light, that we must turn towards. The source of life, from where it draws nourishment. The source of love, that's where we must turn to. Vaguely whispering these, and of course the physical image. As Mother says, when there is calm in the evening, it's a time which is very beautiful for meditation. Naturally you feel like withdrawing inside. Vaguely whispering these, and wide silent sea, a calm, vast consciousness. See the image. Such hour is nearest God. When we are turned toward the source, when all this outward going activity of the mind, thought, life, with all its pomp and splendor and manifoldedness is turned within to its source, and the consciousness has become calm and vast, like a sea, such an hour is nearest God. But when does it happen? When life has been led fruitfully, meaningfully, rich like old age, when the long ways have all been trod. Namaste.